The missing pieces that have defined Natalie Virginia's life are parts of her family. Natalie lives in Tacoma now. She grew up in the Democratic Republic of Congo with her twin sister, her younger sister and brother, and her parents.
When I was born, I was happy. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a principal. We had like everything a child can dream to have. But when I turned 7, I lost my parents in the war. And that's how I end up in an orphanage.
A quick warning, this story contains some disturbing descriptions of war and violence. By the early 2000s, the long-raging civil war in Congo was officially winding down, but all over the country, pockets of fighting continued. Natalie was used to the cycles of conflict.
Like, since I was a child, every time they would shoot, and we would run and come back in the house. Sometimes we would go like a week and come back home. But in 2007, that's where it get worse.
One day at school, the teachers abruptly sent everyone home. Natalie fled to another village with her grandmother and waited to hear from her parents. There was no word from them.
United Nations would say people need to go back home. We went back home. Things are smelling so bad, like because people get killed in the street and bodies, everything, the dogs are eating the bodies. Everything was really bad. Until now, sometimes when I sleep, I still see it in my dream. So and that's how when we get home, we waited, my dad is going to come, my mom is going to come, no one never show up.
Natalie says her grandmother died soon after. Her uncle was summoned to care for her and her three siblings. And then things took an even darker turn.
He did a lot of things to me. A lot. I don't know what to say. He wasn't a lot of things.
The stories of those things are not for the faint of heart. Natalie says her uncle wanted her parents' property and was eager to get the children out of the way. One day, Natalie had to take her little sister to the doctor and left her twin sister, Gato, behind.
When I tried to come back, my sister did not show up. So I waited. She did not show up. After a week, I started telling my neighbors what happened. And my neighbor said, I'm going to tell you, but please don't say because I can get killed. I won't say anything. He told me, I saw your uncle killing your sister this side. I went to see the body is already animals, you know, eating her. So that's what happened to them. So when I think about it, I don't know how to forgive him. It's really hard for me.
People in the village took Natalie in, passing her from house to house. She was only 10 years old, which was too young to apply for asylum. So Natalie was separated from her younger siblings and wound up in orphanages for almost 6 years.
I never had a childhood like other kids.
When she was 15, Natalie was able to apply for refugee status, and she ended up in Tacoma, where she was placed in foster care. But rather than salvation, Natalie says she found more struggles, worse in some ways than surviving as an orphan and refugee in Africa.
I moved 3 houses, which is really difficult because one house I lived in, it was difficult. They don't want me to communicate with white people. They say, oh, white people did this. And it was really hard for me to be able to live there because I thought I just left my country because of the tribalism in French we say. But I can't come back here and someone tell me this. And all my friends' high school was white.
She was placed in a new home in Spanaway, but she says the family only spoke Spanish, and that made daily life into a grind. Then it was a third house in far-off rural Pierce County.
Where I live, there is no bus. I can't go to my friend. I can't go to work without no one taking me. I realize I can't stay there when I need to finish my school. When I go to school, it will take me 2.5 hours. It was like crazy. So when I turned 18, I moved to live my own.
Just 2 years after arriving in the U.S., Natalie started an independent life. But she says she wasn't prepared for just how abruptly the foster care system would cut her off. No more access to her social worker, no follow-up.
Our foster mothers, it's not like they're there to help us. They're also on the paycheck. It's a job for them. Because a lot of kids, when they are done foster care, they are being thrown like dogs. Like even dogs here have value than a foster care kid.
Still, Natalie managed to enroll in community college and got a job at Home Depot. And while she was there, she met a guy named Matthew.
I told him my problems. So he told me, I'm going to tell my mom to see if my mom can help you. So, and he went home and his mom said, yes. So I went there. He said that it's true. If something happened, I'm responsible. And then I went to live with her.
Natalie says meeting Patricia Hemphill was a major turning point. Patricia opened her house to Natalie, helped her with money and with schoolwork. And most importantly, Natalie says she asked for nothing in return. For the first time in the United States, this teenager who grew up way too fast had found a mother.
I wouldn't do anything like her child. Sometimes I would drive her crazy and she would, sometimes she get mad and in two minutes, I'm back in the phone calling her. And
I'll just mention that as we're talking, Patricia is looking on from a nearby chair.
That's how we have been. So she have been my mother since then. Yeah.
Patricia preferred not to be interviewed, but she and Natalie exchanged knowing looks. Patricia was also crucial in helping Natalie create this space that we're talking in. It's a clothing store in Lakewood called Undeniable Bajinia.
And this is Congolese fabric.
Natalie's surname means a wealthy, respected person, and she wanted to honor it in the name of her store.
I love America, and God knows, but their fabric is over-manipulated.
She had learned to sew in Congo, and now she creates these vibrant garments of cotton and wool, dresses and jackets and handbags that combine French fashion with African colors and American styles.
I love it, sewing. Like sometimes when I do it, it would take my stress away. I don't have to think, oh, this is what happened to me. This is what I just have to focus for that thing.
Now she sells clothes to paying customers, including her professors, her lawyer, and of course, Patricia. But this place is more than a business. Natalie says she wanted to create a space where she could help other foster kids, where they could learn skills and also have a boss who understands what they're going through.
3 years ago, I had in my head, I wanted to teach kids how to sew. I want to teach them skills. Like, if you fall, you can't finish school. You can use your hands to be able to make something.
Now Natalie, all of 22 years old, is helping other foster kids fill in the gaps in their own families. She's opened up her own home to them, becoming, in effect, a mother herself.
They didn't have a home to stay. But because they know Natalie had a home, they came home, they told me, Natalie, please. I lived with them 7 months without paying nothing, helping them to get a job, because me, I already know how to apply for the job. And since now, every time when they have a problem, they always call me and say, Natalie, you still a mother to us, you know? So I feel like I helped them to be stronger.
And there's one more family Natalie has found in Tacoma. In the group of immigrants who gathered to sing together as the Tacoma Refugee Choir, Natalie has even co-written a song for them that she calls Everybody Needs Love.
I wrote that song because of Patricia. I thought about it, everybody needs love, because when she gave me love, I felt that I could do anything. So what I was missing was love. So it doesn't matter where you came from, we all need love.
Natalie Bajinia lives in Tacoma. You can find out more about her store and her story at knkxsoundeffect.org. Oh.
yeah, when people change, oh yeah, the world is changing.